To do the small time triathlon, or
maybe when you start falling,
maybe we wait until, yes, maybe it's not necessary, yes, yes. Good. In Bengali, it's called Avashya Rakshibe Krishna. Faith in Krishna as one's protector. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that this means to believe that Krishna will save me. To believe that Krishna will save me means that one believes that Krishna alone is my savior. In other words, one should think, I do not believe that knowledge of Brahman will save me from death, but Krishna will definitely be merciful and deliver me. There is a very practical example of this belief that Krishna alone will save me, and no one else can really save me. A very nice example is there in Mother Devaki. Mother Devaki had a very difficult situation, as we all know. Her brother wanted to kill all her sons, which were born from her. And finally she gave, she felt Krishna was in her womb. And at that time, knowing well that her brother had already killed all her sons, she turned to Krishna for protection. I will read to you a very nice prayer which Mother Devaki was praying, and I think it is suitable also for your prayer practice. You can find it in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd chapter, text 27. No one in this material world has become free from the four principles, birth, death, old age and disease, even by fleeing to various planets. But now that you have appeared, my Lord, death is fleeing in fear of you, and the living entities, having obtained shelter at your lotus feet by your mercy, are sleeping in full mental peace. My dear devotees, in my attempts to write this book, There Is No Death, I had to do a little research work on fear of death. I think you can understand that people are afraid of the process of dying. I don't know how you personally feel about death in your own lives. It's something which we confront with mixed emotions. When we are in good Krishna consciousness, we think, well, it's unavoidable. I have to go through this experience. When we are not so good in our Krishna consciousness, when someone reminds us of death, we might become afraid. We might be afraid of the accident and the pain which we might experience during an accident. We might be afraid of the loneliness which is often surrounding the process of dying. And in this way, death is a very difficult thing. Now, those who accompany dying patients want to give them, how do you say, security in their minds, will have to, thank you, Ruben. They have to sincerely think of how they can take the fear away from the dying patient. And it has been often seen that those who can believe in God, they lose very quick their fear. The cramp of fear loosens. Two devotees once went to their dying mother, and the mother was in the hospital, very much afraid of death. She had gone already in the coma. So the devotees went next to the mother, and they knew they couldn't chant Hare Krishna because the mother would object to this, even when in coma. So they chanted Krishna Govinda Govinda Gopala Nandalal, which are also names of Lord Krishna. And the mother was in coma, and she was lying there like this, really afraid to die. But when the names of God came into her ears, the mother could let loose and became relaxed, opened her mouth and left through her mouth, which is a very glorious way to pass out of the body. Turning to God is a good method to become free from fear, because in the presence of the Lord, fear flees away. Mother Devaki is expressing this in her prayer. She says, Martyo mrityo vyala bita palayan. Martyo mrityo vyala bita palayan. Lokan savangi bayam na bayagachat. Tvat padabhyam prabhyaya dritshayatya. Chushta shite mrityo asmata paiti. No one in this material world has become free from the four principles, birth, death, old age and disease, even by fleeing to various planets. But now that you have appeared, my Lord, death is fleeing in fear of you and the living entities, having obtained shelter at your lotus feet by your mercy, are sleeping in full mental peace. So Mother Devaki, in a moment of fear, turned to Lord Krishna and lost her fear. She says, death is fleeing in fear of you, and the living entities who have obtained shelter at your lotus feet can sleep in full mental peace. Bhakta Brahm, can you sleep in full mental peace? Not during a lecture of Sachinanda Swami, because he will get on your case. Another convincing example of a devotee who turned, our Bhakta Rabin, can please note down, if you turn to Krishna in great danger, even the fear of death is fleeing away. Another convincing example is a devotee. I have Parikshit Maharaj in my mind, who, when the misfortune came and overtook him, took full shelter in Krishna. Parikshit Maharaj was of course cursed to die, and what was his medicine? He heard the Bhagavatam for 7 days. And when he was almost finished hearing the Bhagavatam, he spoke a beautiful prayer. He said, "O Brahmanas, just accept me as a completely surrendered soul, and let Mother Ganges, the representative of the Lord, also accept me in that way. For I have already taken the lotus feet of the Lord into my heart. Let the snake bird, or whatever magical thing the Brahmana created, bite me at once. I only desire that you all continue singing the deeds of Lord Vishnu." He had only one desire. May this Bhagavad Katha go on. Srila Prabhupada was once informed that an earthquake would surely come and would destroy the whole planet Earth. I don't know if you have this in Belgium also, but in Germany we have devotees who from time to time get up and say, "The world is soon to be destroyed." They publish books about this also and have interesting ideas. I remember when the sun eclipse was going to come, there were devotees who were actually buying a cave in the mountain with chains. So they, on the day of the sun eclipse, they awaited that the pole, the two poles, would jump and change. Psh, North Pole would become South Pole, and this would shake the whole planet. So they went into the cave and chained themselves on the so that they wouldn't fall out of the cave. Other devotees went to Goloka Dham and chanted before Radha Madan Mohan. Sun eclipse is highly inauspicious. So when Prabhupada heard that the whole planet Earth would be destroyed, he said, "We will simply sit down and chant." I want to now invite all of you to a free writing exercise. Don't please forget, we have the subject, "Faith that Krishna will surely protect me." I will tell you what to write about. Please don't start immediately. But I also wish to participate in this exercise. Can someone please give me two pieces of fresh, Madan Mohan is giving me fresh paper, two big papers, yes. So, this is a very interesting writing exercise. More than two even, yes, I'm very creative. This is a very, very nice writing exercise. Very can be very Krishna conscious. My dear devotees, the war in Iran had very bad consequences. To this morning, I received a news that the Americans are not satisfied to wage war against Iran. They have started with Syria, who gave weapons to Iran, and they are becoming now very convinced that the world will not stop them when they wage also other wars. This is the information. We have heard that they also plan to do something terrible with Europe, and now in in 1 week, it is sure that an atom bomb will explode over us. What would you do in this situation? You have while I'm talking this, I'm thinking this is not a good example. Because the first thing you would say, well,
ever try to find out if it's true, and most probably it's not true. It's not true. So let us do something else. You have gone to a routine investigation at the doctor. Yadunandan, someone told you, you have some pain on the left side, so better you go. And it was found out it is incurable cancer. In fact, from all your sweets which you have eaten, the metastases are all over your body, and you have exactly 7 days to live. By the way, these 7 days are also confirmed by the astrology. It is 7 days. Please, let us not argue with it. So what would you do in the 7 days? This you have to free right now. You have 7 more days, Jai Govinda.
Can we fathom
or not? Yes, it's a good question. I feel for this riding exercise we can't travel. Why? Because everyone would think about the travel arrangements, and I would get money from here and go to Vrindavan. It's really how to spend your 7 days, last 7 days. How would you spend your last 7 days? Is this a good riding exercise? Are you ready, Nritya Kushori? Yeah? All right, then we will make some music. How much do we need for this? Please try to highlight accepting Krishna as your protector, if you can. I think we take 7 minutes. Is this all right? Good. Okay. Tape is not going.
Not so well.
I'm very sorry, I forgot to tell you. For this writing exercise, it's important for you to know you are writing in a way that you could share it with others. I'm really sorry. Maybe you have started on a very private way. Please write in such a way that you would not be afraid to share it with others. We have already 10 minutes. Is it all right, or would you like a little bit more? It's all right. Yes. Okay. I'm sorry. Yes. Yeah. Would anyone like to share parts of what he wrote? No? Yes.
I'm proud. I'll be willing. Do you just want a part?
Whatever, yes. Yeah.
Okay, you can stop me whenever you like.
No, no, it's not because of the stopping you, or please.
Okay, I have always thought on the mental platform that
I'm thinking about it. Would you like to hear?
Yes.
I must say it was difficult for me to really get in the mood, but I think I finally got. To help me get into the mood, I wrote, "It's unavoidable. Here they are, my last 7 days. At least I know about my sure death and can prepare. Thank you, my Lord, for this mercy." I personally believe it's a great mercy if we know. What should I do now? My example is Parikshit Maharaj. Let me try to take the important elements of his situation and apply them to my situation. First, go to the Ganges. That means to go into a situation where I can concentrate to prepare for the most important examiner of my life. Second, have association with Shukadev Goswami and hear from him. I would like to read or hear from Srila Prabhupada until my consciousness becomes flooded with a spiritual vibration from his lotus lips, which is another Ganga river which drives away all my contaminations. At the very last end, Parikshit told his mother the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, ending with the Bhakti Rasayana shlokas. I will also read the entire Brihad Bhagavatamrita, and in my chanting apply the Bhakti Rasayana verses which take one to Vrindavan. Drown the consciousness with Krishna, thought of Krishna. As Parikshit said, may I be accepted. Yes, I will lovingly and prayerfully chant the holy name in the mood, please accept me, please accept me, please accept me. This is how I would die. That was... it's a very moving subject matter for me. I do not know if it is possible for you as my pupils for this 3 or 4 days. I really don't know if you can come into this situation. From my situation, I have met death quite often in my life, and it is he remains one of my most important gurus. I would say shiksha gurus, who comes in our scriptures. You find many examples of people learning essential lessons in the eye of death. For instance, Naichikatma in the Shvetashvatara Upanishad learns all his lessons from Yamaraj personified. Parikshit Maharaj in the Bhagavatam learns in the face of death from Shukadev Goswami. And Prabhupada, he said once, philosophy means to keep death in front of your eyes. Why does philosophy mean to keep death in front of your eyes? It's simple. Because in the face of death, we will distinguish what is important and what is not important. In cultured Europe, there would be a practice which every learned person knew. It was memorandum ad mortis. People would try to remind themselves of death. For instance, scholars would have a skull on their table, or a skeleton in the corner, or a painting of death in front of their eyes. And I recently met a person in Switzerland who still kept this practice. He had a skeleton in the corner. He was a very happy man, nicely married, and I asked him, what is this skeleton doing in your corner? And he said, ad memorandum, memorandum ad mortem. This, I don't really say it correctly, it's something like this. I want to remember that I have to leave all this behind and I must be well prepared. I'm sometimes lamenting in my life that I forget this very simple practice and therefore get drawn into the unessential things. I lament personally, and I want to cure this. That's why I'm writing this book, There Is No Death. It is most probably the most intense involvement which I can do with the subject matter. I know for certain that I will not live a long time in this world, and I must tell you, I also don't want to live a long time in this world. I do not like this world very much. I appear as a very joyful person, but I really don't like this world. Yes, so therefore, this means something very deep for me, and I'm very moved whenever I write about this or do this exercise. It helps me very much to think of Krishna, and it's very nice. I took this verse, therefore, of Parikshit Maharaj. I also know as a person that death won't be an easy exam. I have no illusions about it. It will not be easy for me because I'm still very attached to my ego and my body. I regret that I'm so attached to it, but therefore I know it won't be easy. And I know I will. I have to prepare. I never forget the words of a dying devotee. There was a Mataji whom I knew very well, because I had preached to her before she came to Krishna consciousness. I'm not saying I'm the instrument for bringing her to Krishna consciousness. She was very qualified before and after she joined, of course. She was clearly at the verge of death. Do you know metastasen? How do we say in English, please? Metastasen, these are the cancer knots in the body. Thank you. Metastases. You know what that is? When the cancer strikes, you get these knots and the they are like really like a net throughout the body, and when it's all throughout the body, you can't cure cancer any longer because it has won the battle. And she tried a very interesting new therapy in an alternative hospital, and I had heard about her from her husband. They were she was bedridden, very badly bedridden, and she was just arranging a program for me. She thought I should preach to the cancer patients. They would be rolled in the hall, and I should preach to them. So she was in very good moods, and she hoped she would survive it. But then came the disease, clapped her down again. That's when I phoned her. I said, "How are you?" And a very weak voice came. "Not very good." Then I asked her, "What is your situation?" "My situation is..." Then she said to her husband, "Could you just leave the room for one moment? I have to speak something privately." And then her husband left, and she told me, "My situation is, I know I have to die." She didn't want her husband to hear this because the husband would be very disturbed. And I swallowed. Then I said, I'm just so curious. Please excuse me. We know each other well, and I think there's no need to have secrets between devotees. How do you feel about your death? Is it easy for you to accept it, or I'm just so interested. Please excuse me this private question." And she said, "It's very difficult. Very difficult." And I said, "But now you know you're going to die. Your body is most probably not able to recuperate." And he said, "You have no idea what false ego is. I also had no idea. I'm so much identified with this body. Although it is wasted away, I still have hopes to enjoy with this body. And now I know it, I will have to leave it behind." And I said, "If I can help you, you please call upon me." And see, I was so moved, and she was starting to cry, and I didn't now want to give a simple explanation. "You're not the body, you know, come on," and so on. I just... Then a few days later, I was sleeping. I felt very strongly someone is calling for me. And I didn't know. I was very tired. I woke up. It was 2:00 in the morning. "Oh no, this person is calling for me. She's dying. I know it." And I sat up, and I jumped out of the bed, took my beeping, and Hare Krishna, chanted really because I wanted to help her in some ways. And that's all I knew to chant. And that morning I heard she had left her body at 2:00 in the morning. She had left her body 700 kilometers from there, 500 kilometers. And from that story, she was a very, very strong-minded person. I mean, not a weak-minded person. From that story, that it was so difficult for her, I really knew it will not be easy in my case also. It won't be easy. And I really hope I can prepare myself during this life. Therefore, I'm talking about this also because death is something very good. It's good that there is physical death. But you really can only accept it if you understand you are part and parcel of Krishna. And Krishna can protect you and your consciousness. Mm-hmm. Interesting, the two verses which I have chosen for protection are both devotees calling out for Krishna in the, either by seeing the death, a possible death of someone else, Devaki, had lost already six children, and Parikshit Maharaj. And it's really a fact from scientific investigation. People just know, I've read these books, that only someone who at the time of death can fix his consciousness on Krishna, on God, that's what they say for us, Krishna. It can be fearless, otherwise it is simply not possible. Hare Krishna. I was thinking that we should now make a brief pause. Let me see. Yes, it's a good time to make a brief pause. Because I have to compose myself again. You can't believe, when I talk about death, it really moves me to the core of my existence. I may look very calm still, because as preachers we are used to hide our emotions. We can't, you know, all the people can't just... No, but I will make a little pause now. And we will start with our song on Sharanagati. It's a very, very nice song which we have prepared for you. Huh? Yeah. Is 10 minutes good, or maybe we should have 15 minutes? What do you think, Yadunandan? Why don't we do five minutes after? Huh? 25 minutes to 12. Yeah? 25 minutes to 12. And this time, I will be punctual, because I'm here already. The last one. So our devotee Deva Darshan or Devashi. Yes, please Devashi, say verse number one, and then we will continue through the table. A member of Krishna's family. This is now Bhaktivinoda Thakur's rendition of becoming a member of Krishna's cowherd. It reminds us very much of Christianity, where Jesus is seen to be the good shepherd. This idea really comes from Rupa Goswami, who says, "Oh Govinda, the calf of my mind has gone astray and left your herd. It's now drinking from the poisoned water of a poisoned ditch. Please take your stick. Do not tolerate that the calf dies and drive it away from the poisoned water towards the Yamuna. Hare Krishna. Here the Lord is seen as a good cowherd who so much better than a shepherd, isn't it? Cows are so much more sattvic, actually. And the good cowherd, man who will take us into his herd and protect us from the demons and from bad water, kaliya, poisoned water, and so on. And lift the Govardhan hill for us. It's a very nice song about the protection of the Lord. Okay, so let us continue with our little safari through the sixfold processes. A practical way to take shelter in Krishna is to take shelter in his holy name. There is a very nice sloka from Mukunda Mala Stotra which says, Satyam bravimi manuja svayam utva barhur yo yo mukunda narasingha janadaneti jivo yapatyanudinam madanedaneva pashana kashta satrishaya dadatya bishtam. O mankind, with arms raised high, I declare the truth. Any mortal who chants the names of Mukunda, Narasingha and Janardana day after day, even in battle or when facing death, will come to regard his most cherished ambitions as no more valuable than a stone or a block of wood. Wow. Yes, I will read it again. O mankind, with arms raised high, I declare the truth. Any mortal who chants the names Mukunda, Nishinga and Janardana, please. Mukunda, Nishinga, Janardana, day after day, even in battle or when facing death, will come to regard his most cherished ambitions as no more valuable than a stone or a block of wood. By chanting Hare Krishna, we will be protected in difficult situations like battle fields or when facing death, and also we will be protected against other types of thieves. These are our material desires. Material desires are considered in Vaishnava philosophy as your enemies, Bhakta Brahm. Yeah? Chanting of the holy name can really make you free from outward and inward problems. Mm-hmm. Now, very often devotees say, but when I chant with offenses, what should I do at such a situation? And the answer to this question is given in the Padma Purana. Even if someone chants with offenses, he should just continue to chant without any problem. Continue chanting will empower you to chant without offenses. It's amazing, isn't it? Of course, continue chanting, should you should rise to the platform of chanting without offenses. I think that is clear. I remember once there was a very difficult case in Krishna consciousness, very difficult. The devotee said to Prabhupada, "What can I do? I'm so fakirt. I'm so different, so wrong." And Prabhupada said, "You should just sit before the deities and chant. And if the temple commander comes and says, do service, you should say, no, Prabhupada has said I should just chant." Have you ever tried this? To just sit before the deities and chant? It's very magical. It really will give you peace in your heart. The only rule is, don't go away. Just continue to chant. Well, once, I have this interesting quotation. When you do offenses, the only place to turn to become free from offenses is the person you offended, Krishna. There is a verse in the Skanda Purana, Bhumo skalita padanam bhumiya eva valambanam dvayi jata paradanam tvam eva sharanam prabho. For those who have stumbled and fallen to the ground, that very ground is the only support by which they can rise once again. Similarly, those who have offended you, O Lord, can be saved only by taking shelter of you to rise again. Have you noticed when you are maybe slipping on the ground, you will intuitively try to catch yourself by the help of the ground. So you have slipped from the ground, but the ground is your only shelter. In the same way, you have maybe made an offense against Lord Krishna, but Lord Krishna remains your only place to take shelter. So this is a very important consideration, which please you have to consider. A perfect example of this is the crow. Do you remember there was the crow in Ram Leela? This crow flew at Mother Sita when Mother Sita was resting and attacked her with her claws and really was attacking her heavenly. Finally, Lord Ramachandra woke up. Sita and Ram were resting and he saw this aggressive crow and took his arrow. The crow said, "Oh no," realizing that the Lord would now punish him. "Oh no, please Lord, protect me. I have made an offense against you by offending Mother Sita, but you are my only shelter. Please help me." Lord Rama said, "Okay, I pardon you, but my arrow has to go someplace." We learned this when we looked at the slides of Ekachakra. Do you remember? The arrow of Arjuna had to hit somewhere, and it was directed to the tree. Where should I should my arrow go? And the crow said, "Into my eye. I had a faulty vision. Let that vision become destroyed." So this is an example which is used, that even if you have made a mistake in your life, you can turn to Krishna. You should turn to Krishna. Just like the earth is the only shelter for those who have slipped from her, in the same way Lord Krishna is the only shelter for those who have even offended him since so many lives. Mm-hmm. Let me see. I have the feeling this is very warm in here, and we feel a little. Nritya Kishori, it's getting too cold for you when the window is open, or if it is all right, let us open the window, please. There's a very nice prayer where the Lord is approached with urgency. It goes like this: O incarnation of compassion, I am now in danger. O Lord Hari, where is that urgency which you showed when you delivered Draupadi and liberated Gajendra? You came immediately to deliver Draupadi and Gajendra, but where is this urgency in my case? Please show the same type of urgency. What a wonderful prayer, isn't it? Gaura Hari, what do you think? O incarnation of compassion, I am now in danger. Like when you have a difficult situation while driving your car. I am now in danger. O Lord Hari, where is that urgency you showed when you delivered Draupadi and liberated Gajendra? Yes, this. Now when Krishna sees that a devotee turns to him for help, Krishna becomes very, very motivated. You may doubt this. You may say, Krishna has waited so long in my case. I'm in danger. I need protection, but he has not yet come. The same objection was raised by Draupadi. Draupadi, once after she had been saved by Lord Krishna, she came to Lord Krishna and said, "My Lord, I have a question for you. Why did you take so long?" They had almost pulled away all the cloth. Why did you take so long? And Krishna said, Draupadi, listen very carefully. When you called for me, you really turned toward grandfather Bhishma. You said, oh Krishna, they said, Bhishma, don't you see the injustice? Forbid the man to strip me in the public assembly. When is this true, Draupadi? Yes, but afterwards you could have come. No, afterwards you turned to Drona. Drona, this is unfair. You are a Kshatriya. You know the codes of Dharma. Why do you allow this to happen? When Drona didn't help you, you even turned to Dhritarashtra and then all the kings. So, just to call out Krishna when you are in danger is not sufficient. You have to take shelter at Krishna. You have to make Krishna your only shelter. Does this make sense? If you call out for someone and you turn to someone else, oh, Yadunandan, please help me. My dear Hridai Govinda, I have this problem. Or Hridai Chaitanya, can you please help me? What? It's Hridai Chaitanya who is called by that person. Let Hridai Chaitanya help. This is when you also call out to God, but you don't take shelter at Him, but take shelter in material things. Then it doesn't work. I think that's the problem of Christianity and also of the Hare Krishna people. We call out for God But we take shelter in material arrangements. I'm sorry, I'm saying these things only to make you think, not that I think the Hare Krishna people are bad people. I'm myself one of them, and I'm proud to be one of them and still tolerated by them. But I want to raise these points to make you think. You must take shelter in Krishna when you call out for him. Everyone is taking notes. This is a noteworthy point. This really brings us to our first song which we sung, where we said Krishna only hears the prayers of someone who takes shelter in him. Who of you was in a situation where you called out for Krishna when you were really in danger? Yeah? Manoharji. Yeah. Jai Govinda. Would you like to share your experience, Jai Govinda Prabhu?
I will try to be brief. It wasn't in the beginning. I knew that there was this I was not so conscious. And it happened that I was dry.
Then you took shelter in Krishna. Who else has taken shelter in Krishna at a difficult situation? Mataji? But please be concise. It wasn't it so that you could become the mother of a Krishna conscious devotee and be with us in Radhadesh. Wonderful. Yes, I think we should sometimes write a book with these stories. The faith book, where Krishna helped devotees who called out for him in great danger. Thank you very much. Let me see I want to tell you now two very good ways to take shelter. One is to pray to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There is a very nice prayer which says, Hahanta chitta bhuvime paramo sarayam sat bhakti kalpa latikankurita kathasyat hridyekamevam param ashvasaniyam asti Chaitanya nama kalayan nakadapi shocha. Alas, alas, how will the desire creeper of pure devotional service sprout in the desert of my heart? Have you sometimes asked yourself, how will I ever become Krishna conscious? I'm struggling, my path is difficult, my feet are slipping left and right. How can I? In my heart there is only one hope. I shall call out the name of Lord Chaitanya. Then I shall never again lament. Gauranga! 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 Yes. By chanting out the name of Gauranga, we have a chance. See, there is a very nice verses in Chaitanya Charitamrita. It comes in the Adi Leela, chapter 8, text 31 and 32. There it is explained, you can chant for many, many lifetimes, but unless you chant free from offenses, you will not obtain love of Godhead. However, if you chant the names of Nityananda and Gauranga, the offenses will be clearly taken away from you, and soon you will chant with love of Krishna. This Nityananda and Gauranga or Gaur-Nitai are such important deities to us that we really need to focus our lives and make our lives Gauranga conscious. You have the name Chaitanya Chandra Prabhu? You have the name Chaitanya Chandra. This is very good. Please always stay with us and remind us of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You have also danced very nice and graceful today in the kirtan. This is very good. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is really the Lord of the distressed. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Lord of the Kali Yuga. Jagannath Das Babaji, a great, great devotee, stayed a long time in Vrindavan. In fact, he had his bhajan kutir at Suryakund. He went at the fag end of his life to Navadvip, where he chanted until he left his body. When he left his body, the tree under which he chanted had the Hare Krishna mantra engraved in it, because he heard so of the Hare Krishna mantra that its biological being was influenced. The tree was influenced and had the Hare Krishna mantra on it. Jagannath Das Babaji was asked, why in this old age do you leave Vrindavan and come to Mayapur? And he said, the Lord, just like you have to pay tribute to the king in whose kingdom you live, we have to pay our obeisances to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and take shelter in him, because he is the Lord of this age. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will surely accept everyone who takes his shelter, and in this way will give him love of Godhead very easily. So Prabodhananda Sarasvati Thakur says that you must come to the shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There is another very nice verse which I would like to quote, and then we have, believe it or not, reached the end of our today's morning session. I'm very happy. Once there was Indradyumna Maharaj had a very nice disciple. I mean, I think all of his disciples are very nice, but his disciple Brajalila seemed to have been very Krishna conscious from her young days on, and she had a problem and was also a physical problem and went to Vrindavan to give up her body. And once Indradyumna Maharaj wrote her a very nice verse, and I'm always thinking about this verse. It's a verse, I want to die with this verse. It is going like this. Lord Krishna, who is like a sun rising in the darkness, has come to grant auspiciousness to us. He is like a boat to the drowning, like a sweet rain cloud to those dying of thirst, like a fabulous wealth to the poverty stricken, and like an infallible physician to those afflicted with the most painful disease. Now he has come to grant auspiciousness to us. See, Krishna is really the only one who can protect us, and therefore these examples have been given. The sun is the only one who can drive away the darkness. The boat is the only help for someone who is drowning. And the rain cloud is the only help for someone dying of thirst. So is wealth the only help for the poverty and the infallible physician to a person who is afflicted with the most painful of diseases. Krishna is our only shelter. We should come to believe it. When we are sometimes sick, we take shelter in so many medicines. Have you noticed this? Only this, or this treatment, and that treatment. We should understand Krishna is the only treatment. When we are poor, we try to have so many things to get money. But we should understand Krishna is our only solution. When we are thirsty, and when we have other needs, we should understand that our real need is Krishna only. This verse is all about that. Hare Krishna. Yes. At the same time, and this is very important for me to relay to you, we should be clever to see the Lord through his different arrangements coming to us. This beautiful Christian story, it is about the man who's drowning. The man who's drowning thinks God has promised to save the true Christian. He calls out, God, 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 please help me, fulfill your promise. So very soon, a boat comes by and says, can we help you? No, no, said the man. God is coming, we'll soon come. It's just, you can go. Okay, the boat goes away. Then a helicopter comes. Can we help you, drowning man? No need, no need, no need, thank you. You can continue, God will come. So the helicopter, acha, and drives away. Then the man drowns. He comes to heavens and he asks, God, come on, you said you would save the true Christian. Why didn't you come? God answered, I came two times, but you didn't want me. I came first in the form of the people with the boat. The second time, I came in the form of a helicopter, but you didn't want me. So, when we pray for protection of Lord Krishna, we should understand Lord Krishna can come in many forms to us. I think he has already come into our lives as the Hare Krishna mantra. Let us not ignore the Lord in this form. Krishna has come in the form of association of devotees to protect us from the influence of the Kali Yuga. Let us not ignore the Lord in this form. Krishna has come in the form of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Let us not ignore the Lord in the form of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And in this way, we can give many other statements. So, Hare Krishna. I want to end this morning seminar and then see if there are any questions with one statement where I really notice that Krishna saves the devotees in different forms of arrangements. There was a time when to be a devotee in Germany was life-threatening. Dr. Daniel, you rise at 12:30 to chant your rounds. What do I do now? It has ended already. I have such a bad karma with clocks there. This morning I put my clock did not ring. Hare Krishna. Or I didn't hear it. Maybe it was the second. Anyways, so it was very dangerous to be a devotee in Germany, and we would sometimes be threatened by people with guns on the street. So I remember we had a Harinam in Göttingen chanting and dancing down when all of a sudden there was one of these karate men, big strong man. He took away his shirt and put himself in the karate attack position. And I saw this, and I immediately began to calculate, what is our chance to escape this man? I was the kirtan leader, and due to my unglorious past, I have experience in street fighting, but I can't do it any longer because you need to be practiced, and as a devotee, there's not much strength in the body, and also not, the intelligence doesn't work any longer to hurt people, but it works to help people. So I thought, what to do, how to escape this? And I knew we would not stand a chance to run away from him, because he wanted to attack us and hurt us. He was one of these guys who wants to break bones. So immediately we changed the tune to Namaste Narasimhaya and continued onwards. And then the man started his attack. He really came on us. He accelerated to have speed, and then now when he was almost getting hitting the devotees, I mean getting to us, another man came out of a bar, you know, bar means pub. He looked like the bellman from Notre Dame. He screamed out, and he came from the side to this karate man. Bang! And the karate man was totally shaken off and fell to the ground, and this bellman from Notre Dame jumped on him. And stopped the man effectively. And in the end, you know, when he told the karate man he must excuse himself, which he politely did, and before he went to the ambulance. And then this man was so he went back into the bar and came back with 8 glasses of mineral water to serve to the Vaishnavas. Here it must have been a quite intense situation for you. Drink some mineral water. And I thought this man was sent by Lord Krishna. I really think the Lord protected us. Since time immemorial, devotees in difficult situations have chanted Namaste Narasimhaya, which is a very good way to ask for protection, because the Lord has come in this form of Narasimhadev to protect his devotees. Let us, sometimes we may not want to disturb Lord Krishna directly. Let us go to Narasimhadev. Many devotees will be able to tell you many wonderful stories of seeking the Lord's protection. But please remember the important point which we have learned. You must also seek or look for shelter. You can't just call out almost as if the Lord is a waiter in a restaurant. You must look for shelter. I have reached the end of this session. I'm actually very happy. We are half an hour too early. Usually we are too late, but we are too early. There is still time to ask questions or discuss things if you wish. Otherwise we can also be a little earlier. Isn't it, Yadunanda? Yes. Dira Prashanta? Devashi, Prabhu, yes, Devashi Prabhu.
I have a question about, you know, you spoke a lot about Shamanagati, surrender to Krishna, but now this is a blue.
Mm-hmm.
And is it in my understanding,
that we wish to surrender. Yes. Devarshi Prabhu said, you spoke a lot of surrendering to Krishna, but not to the Guru. In my understanding, if we wish to surrender to Krishna, we have to find his representative and surrender unto him. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Usually the process of Sharanagati is a process which directs us to Lord Krishna. When we surrender to the Guru, usually a different word, Sanskrit word, is used. So I stayed in, I'm staying in this, but oh, it's very obvious. That when, if you wish to surrender to Lord Krishna, Krishna's representative is there to help you. Krishna's representative will tell you how to best serve Krishna and give you an order or instructions if you are willing to take his instructions. That is definitely that's definitely the case. When you want to surrender, when you want to perform devotional service to Lord Krishna, Rupa Goswami says, there are five principles which which help you to enter the door of bhakti. You might know the 64 angas in devotional service are guided by taking shelter in the spiritual master, receiving initiation from him, then receiving instructions from him, then asking him all kinds of questions, and finally, it's very interesting that the Guru does never appear isolated from his tradition in the an anga which is there is in this connection there is you must also follow in the footsteps of the previous sadhus. Mm-hmm. I think it's very interesting to see that the Guru will not appear isolated from the tradition and the school, but represent the school, so therefore you take shelter in the sadhus as well. Mm-hmm. Yes, the surrender to the Guru makes surrender really practical, because it's sometimes difficult for us to know the plan of Lord Krishna, but if we get an instruction, do it like this, it's easy. Mm-hmm. So I didn't mention surrender to the Guru here in this thing so explicitly, because Sharanagati is usually put towards Krishna, but the way to do Sharanagati for Krishna is also very much to surrender to the spiritual master. Yes, I think that is known. We know about this. But it's nice that you make it a topic also. It cannot be missed, this topic. Mm-hmm. I remember once one of our leaders had tried to please Krishna by doing the Kartik Vrata in Vrindavan, eating very less, having a beard, chanting very much. And Prabhupada wanted him really to go on preaching through India. When Prabhupada made that point, surrender to Krishna means surrender to the Guru. You should do that now. You should. Mm-hmm. yes, it's a fact. With the personality of the guru, surrender becomes very, very concrete, isn't it? It's no longer abstract. Once Prabhupada was asked, but wasn't it sometimes difficult for you to follow all the instructions of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur? And he said, to follow the instructions of the spiritual master is the life and soul of the disciple. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Devashi. Yes? Rabin? Goptritva Varanam is more to accept the Lord as one's maintainer and sustainer, and Rakshishyatiti Vishvasa means to have faith in Krishna as the protector. Again, we could raise the same question, what if there is an acute danger, will we always turn to Krishna? Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur addresses this question also. And he said, normally we will not bother Lord Krishna, knowing that, but when there is an acute danger, acute means something very urgent, it is natural for the devotee to turn to Krishna. Just like it is natural for the child to say, oh, father, this is natural. Don't we, I think our Mataji, Purnamasi is your good name?
Yes.
Purnamasi. Purnamasi, she said this, when the devotees woke up in the car, and the car was going totally in a way which was dangerous. There was very natural for the devotees to scream, Krishna! I can see all the Matajis, you know. Because I have seen this many times in our lives also. It's really amazing. Have you ever been in an accident? Everything seems to go very slow. Have you noticed? It's like the, wie sagt man, Zeitlupe? Slow motion. You come in slow motion towards the car, your car goes in slow motion, and you know, and you hear the song, this is the end. And it's really the end. You really feel like, and then out in the slowness, in your frozen movements, you go, Krishna! And boom, you are back in real time, in real, everything goes speedy like it is used to going. It's amazing. I sometimes have the situation, because we drive a lot, and then I fall asleep, and then there are these situations. Do you know this? When you overtake another truck, and it's only so much space, and you wake up in the midst of it, and you think, oh, Krishna! It's natural for a devotee to call for Krishna, but it's not that we are again like the maintaining point, going to a lot, to burdening Krishna. If possible, we want to take a burden away from Lord Krishna. Srila Prabhupada tells the story of his father. I heard it from Tamakrishna Maharaj, that his father once went to Pararikashram, and on the way he was attacked by tribals who wanted to rob them, and the tribals robbed him and the group and said, pray to your chosen deity before we will kill you, because they didn't want to leave any traces, you know, that people, that they would come and say, we were robbed there and there, and the police will go after the tribals. Pray to your chosen deities. And Prabhupada's father then chanted, Namaste Narasimhaya. At that moment, a terrible lion came out of the bushes. He attacked the people, killed them, and I think he left only one tribal alive so that he could tell the story to his other tribals. Don't steal. Lord Nrisimhadev. Lord Nrisimhadev is still very, very active for protecting. We should invite Pankajangri Prabhu to give us an insight into Rakshishya Titi Vishwasa. He has many, many leelas about Lord Nrisimhadev. If you need some faith, please go to Pankajangri. He has all these miracle stories. In Mayapur, the deities are constantly performing miracles. And these two pujaris, they know many of these things. He can talk for hours on just on miracles performed in Mayapur. Pankajangri Prabhu, he's one of the two twins. Yeah, we will just go a little bit slower or easier on rejecting the things which are unfavorable, and then tomorrow we will do accepting the things which are favorable, and in the afternoon session, accepting the things which are favorable. This will be a session for the morning time, but in the afternoon time, I thought we make a japa workshop, which will be very easy and a lot of chanting. Good. So let us just sing Jai Radha Madhava. Ladies and gentlemen, upon common request, is Saralata. 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 Sara means essence. And lata, I do not know what this means, to be honest. But Krishna consciousness means to become simple. And simple means to become an essence lover. Saralata. You should all become Saralata. Then you can very easily reject the things which are unfavorable to devotional service. Once there was a farmer who became tired to always go after his work's day to gossip with the other villagers in the village. So he decided to do something meaningful in his time. What he did is, in his free time, he took stones with him from the field and began to work on the stones. He worked so much on the stones that finally he knew what he wanted. He wanted to make elephants. His elephants, Bhakta Brahm, became so wonderful, his stone elephants, that he became known throughout the country as the best elephant maker. Finally, the king heard about it and came to visit him. And when he visited him and saw
his elephants, he was so totally amazed that he said, I would give my whole life to make elephants like this. But the farmer told him, it's very simple. You just take the stone and then take everything away which is non-elephant. So I think the rejection of the unfavorable is something like this. You concentrate on the saralata, on the essence, what you wish to attain, that is, become Krishna conscious, and then take everything away, which, as Prabhupada, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, I renounce any activity that does not lead to Krishna. This is a very simple definition of making the perfect elephant, becoming perfect in Krishna consciousness. What to take away or what to reject is a very nicely explained by Srila Rupa Goswami in his classical list of things which are dangerous for devotional service. Who knows the classical list of Srila Rupa Goswami? Wonderful. Adhyahara means
gathering more than necessary.
Gathering more than is necessary. Prayas, prayas.
Endeavoring for attaining things which are necessary.
Yes, endeavoring hard, over endeavor for difficult to attain things which are. Prajalpa means, we all know this, yes, talk unnecessarily. Let us quickly complete the list. Prajaga niyamagraha jnana. Niyamagraha means two things, either being attached to rules without knowing their true meaning. Overly and excessive attachment to rules, and on the other hand, to reject all types of rules. And jnana sangha means the association of the worldly minded, and finally lobham. Lobham means greed for material things. So this is Srila Rupa Goswami's famous list, which we need to reject as being unfavorable. What amazing sounds can be heard and not heard. It's almost like as if underneath a dinosaurus. I think it would be not very difficult for us to think of unfavorable things to give up. But let me now ask you a question. What do you think is the basis of all unfavorable things? Good question, isn't it? What is the one thing which causes all other unfavorable things? I'm sorry. Jnana sangha means the association of worldly minded people. The weakness of the heart and desire to enjoy is the cause of everything. We are asking. Yes?
Whatever. Whatever is favorable for the sense of aham,
whatever is favorable for the false ego, which has these two things, aham ameti. Yeah? So, yes? Aparadha. You wanted to say the same thing? Daniel? Lust and envy, that's the main problem. Greed is the main problem. I'm a strange creature. I feel like hunting in the prehistoric times when these sounds come. Maybe we should, Manoha, we should politely tell them that their sounds have totally bewildered the speaker and he's no longer able to formulate one clear sentence. Yes. I think whatever you have said is right. It's problematic, but the real unfavorable thing is a material vision. When you have a material vision, you see Krishna consciousness with material eyes. And what this exactly means is expressed in a verse from Padma Purana, which I feel is very, very important. In this verse of the Padma Purana, we find the material vision very, very deeply described. And I have always seen when a devotee in his or her spiritual life develops this material vision, at that time it is very, very difficult for him to go on living. I've even seen, if you see he has this material vision and you try to correct it and help him, but he keeps on maintaining his material vision, at that time you always can make a prophecy. In half a year, in 1 year, or in 5 years, he will be gone. I would like to tell you what are these material vision. Yadunandam Prabhuji, we are just now have entered the description of bhakti pratikula pratikulya vivarjanam, that is giving up what is unfavorable. And I'm now saying that all the many things which are unfavorable come from one thing, that is the material vision. And the material vision obviously comes out of the false ego. But here, the Padma Purana gives a very precise description what the material vision is. The Sanskrit is Arche Vishnu Shiladhir Gurushu Naramatiya. Whoever considers the deity of the Supreme Lord to be dead matter made out of wood, stone or metal is certainly a resident of hell. The same hellish mentality means to consider the spiritual master, who is an eternal associate of the Supreme Lord, to be an ordinary man who is prone to die, or to think the Vaishnava is coming from some caste, or to see that the water that washes the feet of the pure devotee or the Supreme Personality of Godhead is ordinary water, although such water has the potency to destroy all the evils of the age of Kali, or to consider the holy name of the Supreme Lord or mantras dedicated to him, which are able to destroy all sin, to be ordinary sounds, or to think the Supreme Lord of all, Lord Vishnu, is on the same level as the demigods. All these thoughts are coming from a hellish mentality. Whoever thinks in this way is certainly a resident of hell. It's very important if you work on rejecting the unfavorable in your life that you are a little bit alert to your vision, because if you have a material vision, so many unfavorable things will develop in your heart. I would like to tell you a story which Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur has told us. It's a story on seeing into the future. Once there was a monkey, an old monkey, who lived with his other monkeys in the court of a king. One day the princess liked the monkeys and kept the monkeys as playing animals, and they lived a very, very easy life and soon became very fat with round bellies. They enjoyed this very much. But one day the old monkey said, "We have to go here. Immediately we have to go here." "Why?" said the other monkeys. "We are playing the whole day with the young princess, and as a result they feed us cake and cream. We want to stay here." "No," said the old monkey, "believe me, I know that very soon these same princes the king will bring us to the to a place and will slaughter us to get our monkey fat." "How can you see like this?" said the young monkeys. "I think old age has made you very suspicious." "No, no," said the old monkey. "And see, what I have seen is the following. Every day there is one ram going into the kitchen. You know what is a ram? It's a male sheep. Is it? It has a horn. A male sheep. A he-sheep. So this he-sheep is very naughty and daring. He always eats the sabjis before they are cooked. And the cook is getting increasingly impatient with him. Now one day, the cook will take a burning log and will hit the ram with it. The ram which is hidden will catch fire, run to the stables where the horses are kept, and will throw itself into the straw in order to get rid of the fire. As a result, the straw will burn, then the stables will burn, and then the poor horses which are bound there will also burn. Finally, when the flames have been extinguished by the court, the king will ask, what is the best cure for horses against burnt skin? And the doctor will say, "Your Majesty, it's monkey fat." So you will see, I have studied the symptoms. Soon this will be the result. The king will think the horses are much more valuable to me than these foolish monkeys, which are only good for playing with the princes, and he will slaughter all of you. Therefore I'm saying, let's go from here immediately. Let's go from the land of cake and cream to the forest. The young monkeys, who were not very far-seeing, said this. This is the senility of old age. Only a senile brain can think like this. So the old monkey said, okay, I'm going, and went away. It only took 1 week until the ram came in the kitchen. This time it was especially hungry and ate the potatoes just before the king, the cook wanted to cook them. As a result, the cook was so angry that he took a burning log of fire, hit the ram, whose wool subsequently caught fire. The ram ran to where the horse stables were, threw itself into the straw in order to get rid of the fire, which resulted in a huge inferno of flames in the horse stables. Some of the horses were burned. The king was very, very disturbed because these were good racing horses, and went to the veterinarian, the doctor for the animals, and asked him for help. And he said, Your Majesty, the only help is monkey fat. Then the king decided to kill all the young monkeys. Only one monkey escaped, who brought the news to the old monkey who was living in the forest. All our brothers have been cruelly killed, the old monkey said. I could not convince my brothers, and cried. This is the end of the story. So the old monkey saw the future based on the eyes of knowledge. And this really is a very, very important point which I want to say. Whenever you have a material vision, you can also predict the future. When your material vision is very strong, you will for sure fall down. There's no other route of development. When you want to reject, therefore, what is unfavorable, you must develop a spiritual vision. You must see the deity as the supreme Lord to whom you can pray and who can answer your prayer. You must see the spiritual master not as an ordinary man with whom you can argue when only a little word comes out of his lips, but you should see him as someone who is dear to the Lord. When you see a Vaishnava according to his upbringing, that is not good. Or if you see the water, the Charanamrita water, as material, that is also not good. And you should see the holy name of the Supreme Lord, or mantras dedicated to him, as clearly the Lord himself in sound. And you should see Lord Vishnu as your Supreme Lord, who is superior to all and everyone, including the demigods. We have always seen that material vision leads to anattas. Anattas means undesirable things. Have you had personal opinion, personal experience? When you have a material vision, then you begin to become attracted to the material world and develop anattas. And these anattas are the ones which have to be rejected if you want to advance. Krishna, Bhaktivinoda Thakur once wrote very nice the meaning of anattas. Krishna, the potency of Krishna and the living entity together constitute the absolute truth. Illusioned by Maya, the living entity is bound by her. This is known as anatta. See, you should only be involved in Krishna, the energy of Krishna, and you should see the pure spiritual source, the living entities. You should not give Maya a chance which binds you. Krishna. Especially, you must avoid a material vision towards the devotees, which very quickly leads to the most grievous of all offenses, that is Vaishnav aparad. When I see this sheet of paper, I think it is from a class, I can understand that you have talked about anattas, four groups of anattas and so on. And therefore, I will not talk about this here. It's behind you there's four groups of anattas and their eradication. I really think that rejection of the unfavorable really means to think that that you address your material vision. There is a very, very nice verse with which I want to conclude this first section. Then we make a pause, and after the pause we think, we sing, and then we make some interesting little workshop. It's a verse from Upadeshamrita which teaches us how to avoid a material vision against a Vaishnav, how we can look at him. And I want to read this verse to you for your happy entertainment. Drishtai svabhava janite vapushas chadosha na prakritatvamiha bhakta janasya pasyet gangam basham nakalu buddhai pena pankar Brahma dravatvam apagacchati nirdamai. Being situated in his original Krishna conscious position, a pure devotee does not identify with the body. Such a devotee should not be seen from a materialistic point of view. Indeed, one should overlook a devotee's having a body born in a low family, a body with a bad complexion, a deformed body, or a diseased or infirm body. According to ordinary vision, such imperfections may seem prominent in the body of a pure devotee. But despite such seeming defects, the body of a pure devotee cannot be polluted. It is exactly like the waters of the Ganges, which sometimes during the rainy season are full of bubbles, foam and mud. The Ganges waters do not become polluted, however. Those who are advanced in spiritual understanding will bathe in the Ganges without considering the condition of the water. My dear devotees, this example is very good. When you see a devotee, you should see him like you see Mother Ganga. In the Ganga, there are sometimes so many particles of contamination, maybe rotten leaves, sometimes also the garbage which has been dumped in there from towns, used up water, and so on and so forth. But when you are in the Ganga, you see the Ganga only. So in the same way, when you are with a devotee, you definitely see sometimes some tendencies for material things, maybe, or some material, some disturbing this or some disturbing that. But let us prefer to look what is spiritual. I always, when wanting to do this, I ask the devotees, what brought you to Krishna consciousness? What was your most enlivening experience in Krishna consciousness? And you will see by these simple questions, the Ganga water of the devotee's life becomes immediately visible. By my nature, I'm not so much to be found on the extremely conservative wing of ISKCON. And I had sometimes situations in my life where I felt a little bit unfairly dealt with the most conservative wings of our institution. But to my surprise, I always found out that even the devotees where I found they may have understood me the least, even these devotees have wonderful, sweet realizations in Krishna consciousness. This has made me a convinced person to never criticize devotees. Because you can see, the essence of Mother Ganga is its Ganga water. So the other things which are floating around, Hare Krishna. So in much the same way, the essence of a devotee are not what you perceive due to your conditioning as something which is disturbing. Maybe it's very good qualities, but due to your conditioning, you see it as disturbing. It rubs you the wrong way, one says in America, can slang English. You should try to see the Ganga and not the dirt. This also has become my firm conviction in relationship to ISKCON. There, if you want to see the troubles of ISKCON, you can write books about it, and there are people who do it. Why not see the Ganga? It's much better. When I go to India, I want to see the Ganga water, not the industrial waste water. In the same way, when I want to come to a spiritual movement, who cares about Mr. So-and-so who did some less than palatable activity? We want to see the glorious examples. We want to see the nice festivals in Poland, the good temples in Hungarian farm. We want to see Yadunandan and so on. Isn't it? This is our desire. I'm sorry. I hope I have not embarrassed you. I have not committed Vaishnava apalad. So this spiritual vision is very much required. And with this word, I will gladly grant you your 15 minutes pause. After the 15 minutes pause, we will go into the unfavorable workshop. the workshop with the unfavorable things. Don't worry, we don't want to do the unfavorable things. I have to maybe phrase it in a different way. I wrote here the unfavorable workshop. It's a workshop where we want to identify and overcome unfavorable things. Okay. So, let us maybe we can invite, I'm thinking if every one of you reads, it won't be on the tape. Maybe we can invite our English speaking phenomena, our Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami Prabhu, to please come and read this to us with great. Please give him a chair. I think this is the title which you
I've never heard an English speaking phenomenon.
I will assuredly abandon with utmost endeavor all things in which aversion to your devotional service is inherent. I will not keep company with those opposed to your devotional service, nor even look at the faces of those inimical toward Lord Gauranga. I will never reside at a place unfavorable for devotional practices, and I will never take pleasure in non-devotional activities. I will read no book opposed to pure devotion, nor listen to any scriptural explanation which counters pure devotional principles. I will never regard as sacred any place where Lord Gauranga is rejected. All knowledge or action hindering pure devotional service I consider worthless. Any seasonal observance which poses obstacles to the execution of devotional service finds no favor with me, and I consider as strangers all my own relatives or family members who are averse to devotional service. I will totally abandon all desires that hinder devotion, and I will never touch foodstuffs offered to me by non-devotees. I vow to carefully avoid whatever I know to be contrary to devotional service. This is a most definite proclamation. Bhakti Vinod falls down at the feet of the Lord and begs for the strength to give up all things that are unfavorable to pure devotion.
Thank you very much. It's really a festival for the ears and the heart to hear you speaking English. I think the mood in this prayer is very, very clear. Anything which is not related really to pure devotional service, Bhaktivinoda Thakur rejects. And I found it very important that he ended his song of strong rejection of all types of things not connected with Krishna with a prayer. He says, Bhaktivinoda falls down at the feet of the Lord and begs for the strength to give up all things that are unfavorable to pure devotion. Isn't it? He wants the strength. This praying for the strength is also there in another verse which we had quoted a little earlier. Bhaktivinoda, no, it was Lord Ramachandra who said, anyone who says, from this day on, my Lord, I'm yours, I give him the courage, and begs for me for courage, and I give him the courage. I think for this standard of devotion, we all need strength and courage. I want to now request you to do a little writing exercise. And this writing exercise will be entirely private. It has to remain private. Please write very honestly and confidentially about one question. What are the two attachments which are still present in your heart, which are unfavorable for the development of bhakti? But please, before you start, please just. you want to write the question down? Okay. What are the two things which are still the two attachments or habits? Attachments or habits which are still present in your heart, which you consider to be unfavorable for the development of bhakti. two most prominent. Yes. But the Brahm, if you can identify more than two, it's all the better. Yeah. But it's good to concentrate on two things, and then you can, after you have dealt with them, easily go into the other things which might be development from these two things. Try to really identify two of your biggest problems, and you will have a little time to think about it. Please don't write immediately. It's not a free writing exercise. Identify the two and then start writing about them. Is the task clear? Please be very honest. It's important for you to be honest. Otherwise, you cannot work on them. You will have a time of 7 I'm not so intelligent as... Yes. We can have 7 minutes for this, because there will be another very important exercise which will follow this. Once again, if it's difficult for you to find out the two things, because it is not so easy, really, it is not so easy, then just approach them with another question. You can say, for instance, what would I really like to be free from in my spiritual life? That usually gives an answer also. What is the thing I would be free from? Or what would make my life very easy and progressive in devotional service if I would give it up? Huh? Yeah? Chaitanya Chandra is looking at me. It's clear? Okay. So, Prabhuji's and Mataji's, you will now have 7 minutes. 1, 2... question, and I really would like to answer it, but a little later, because we are just now in this exercise, but I will come back to it. It's a very good question. I will take a note. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami's. Not Goswami's? Beautiful name. Krishna Das. Mm-hmm. Okay, question. Have you found something? Yeah? Even the pure-hearted Gaurahari has found something?
Yes.
Really? Now comes the more beneficial and more hopeful question. And here I will request you to go into the mood of free writing. Remember, the only rule for free writing is what?
never stop. Yes. And the more you can come up even with crazy things, it's good, because it's a method to unleash your consciousness. I mean, obviously, I have to correct this. It's not that we want to write crazy things on the but I mean, unexpected things, you know. If I could only, for instance, let me give the example. I've written down my two greatest enemies in spiritual life are that whenever I come close to Mahaprasad, I have pictures of drilling instruments and tongs and machine guns to obtain this Mahaprasad. And so on. I turn into a greedy Mr. Hyde. This is Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. So then the solution is, you will be now requested to write a solution, what you could do to overcome this. I could write down in free writing, the only chance I see is to go to India and live from mud from the bank of Mother Ganga. It's possible to live, by the way. There's a lot of protein and algae in there. Then you will say, "Oh, this is really a little bit too extreme," and you would start a new thought. The only solution to my great attachment to Mahaprasad is to do regular yoga exercises so that my prana flows more better. This sounds also too eccentric. The only solution is to just eat moderate amount of sweets each day so that I won't be so hungry for so many sweets. And you can write so things like this. Please don't be and I would request that if you are not shy, you can share some of your free writing. No one knows what your problem is. Maybe then they can guess what your problem is. And no sharing for this, because we want to keep the confidential areas. Just free write without any obstacles. Okay. I'm really happy that you have not taken a puja bell, but this is Napoleon who's on there. Be nice. It's very useful to make such an. This is really. I'm really also very happy with this, with my own findings. I will keep it and look at it. So for the end of our little of today, I wanted to list to you a list of things which I came up by talking of unfavorable things. But I would really, before doing this, like to hear a little bit from you. We will make a little brainstorm now, where everyone can just throw in things into the Uttariya, things which are unfavorable. I will repeat it because the tape
listening devotees always have said, well, when you make brainstorms, you're usually somewhere and we can't hear what the devotees say. So I thought I will just put my uttariya like this, and you can just throw in what is unfavorable according to your understanding. And please talk of things which are real to you. Unfavorable are elephants which attack devotees, you know, or things which are totally irrelevant. No need to make personal confessions that you have done already, but things which you think are unfavorable. Yes, unfavorable. And the solution to the unfavorable. This is very important. I will start. Overeating. The solution is, in one sentence, the solution is to eat moderate amounts of nice prasadam. Gossiping. What is the solution? Please say in one sentence.
The solution is to make a decision to communicate in the most beneficial way.
The solution is to communicate in the most beneficial way. This is now hard brain work because you have to think of two things.
Over controlling nature. Solution is to hear and chant more about Krishna and Krishna's pastimes and see him as the supreme controller of the soul.
Now, over controlling nature, the solution is to hear more about Krishna and his pastimes and see him as the supreme controller.
Anger.
And the solution is to become angry against those who are against Krishna. This is a traditional answer. I will now jump into this answer and will say anger is the result of lust. So lust has to be overcome by purifying of the consciousness. This is also allowed to offer additional solutions.
Mundane consciousness, this I can overcome by reading more.
Mundane consciousness, which can be overcome by reading more.
Envy.
I can overcome this by praising devotees. Grace, you are looking at... Your name is Grace, no? No? Oh, sorry. Please excuse me. Oh, yeah. Claire. Oh, sorry. Yes. Anyone was there? No?
Mm-hmm.
Seems not. Yes, probably.
Maybe to criticize one devotee, maybe the solution is to serve the devotee.
Criticize a devotee is anatta, and the solution would be to serve a devotee. Wonderful. Jai Govinda Prabhu.
Poor Shravana and Japa, and the solution is
poor Shravanam and Japa, and the solution is inspiring association. Yes, your good name, Prabhuji?
Avindaksha.
Avindaksha. Aravindaksha. Prabhu. Yes.
Give up everything and fall into emptiness.
The problem is to give up everything and fall into emptiness, and the solution would be to grab the holy name. Thank you. This is a very important work which you might like to continue to do in your own life. I have done a little research work in the Shastra. What is unfavorable? First, the physical things. Vachu Vegam, the urge to speak, the urge of the tongue, the belly, and also the private parts. Nadanam Najanam, wealth, followers, and attachments to beautiful women. Beautiful women is not the problem, but attachment to a beautiful woman, and men also for the women. Unfavorable is also places. The Bhagavatam says, do not reside where there is no talk of Krishna, no talk, no devotees, where there are no devotees, and where there is no Sankirtan festival. Interesting, huh? You should not reside at a place where there is no talk of Krishna, where there are no devotees, and where there are no Sankirtan festivals. Very important to give up is traditional gurus, parents, and relatives who cannot save us. Unfavorable are non-devotees. One should prefer to be locked up in a cage surrounded by fire than to associate with non-devotees. We have not forgotten Krishna Das Kaviraj.